You may be seated. Well, good morning. Hello again, Bethel. My name is Pastor Christian McMullen. I am a seminary classmate of Pastor Dave's and was at Wake Forest with Pastor Heidi. Just to give you a little more introduction about me, I am trying to finish up a PhD in church history from the Lutheran Seminary in Philadelphia. I'm currently trying to write my dissertation. It's in the progress on the Holy Spirit and the Lutheran Reformation. So the Holy Spirit is a topic that's near and dear to me. Prior to graduate school, I served a little itty-bitty church in central Michigan, way up here, and then was an associate pastor in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, which is where my wife and I currently live, and I've done some interim work and a little bit of everything. I taught Dave Young everything he knows about euchre, okay, and other things not pertaining to academics from seminary. So, just a little bit about me. Today I want to preach about the Acts reading. The reading in our Acts lesson today from Acts 11 is great. There's a lot going on in it. And what I want to do is just sort of walk through the text and sort of pull out those things that really relate to how the Holy Spirit works and what the Holy Spirit does and how it does it and the effects of the Holy Spirit. Because one of those questions that gets asked a lot is, how do you know what the Holy Spirit's doing? How can you tell? You know, we confess our belief in the third article of the Creed. You know, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. What does that mean? So I'm going to try to use the scripture as an example of trying to fill that in. But first, I want to give you the backstory. Okay? The backstory is that Peter goes to visit an uncircumcised Roman centurion, a soldier named Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is otherwise what you would call a righteous Gentile, okay? He's not Jewish, he hasn't been circumcised, and yet he sort of follows the law, so to speak. Not a bad guy, but he's not exactly a part of the Jewish community either, okay? One of the issues in the early church was, do you have to become Jewish first before you then get baptized and get included in the Christian community? Because after all, Jesus was Jewish. All of his disciples were Jewish. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, was promised to the Jews and would come from the Jews. And to be a part of that whole salvation, redemption history, the implied thinking is you got to become one of us. Okay? That's what's implied. And Gentiles aren't one of us. They're considered unclean. They don't eat kosher. They don't do the same things. They don't keep the Sabbath the same way. All right. So Peter goes and visits this Gentile, not one of us, and baptizes him, including him in the Christian community. So Peter gets challenged in questions about why he would hang out with those kind of people. So Peter retells the story. This is what happened. I was praying, and while I was praying, I had a vision. Now, it's really interesting that the Spirit here works through prayer. Okay? Prayer. That conversation with God. And in that vision, he sees a big picnic blanket. That's what it is, a blanket with food on it. A big picnic blanket descending from the sky, okay? And Peter says, and actually, God says, kill and eat. And Peter says, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. Okay? Again, it's kosher. All right? You don't eat pigs. You don't eat shellfish. You don't mix, what is it? Mix meat with other things. When Pastor Dave and I were in Israel, it was interesting. The foods that they had for breakfast, you know, yogurt and hard-boiled eggs, which was kind of interesting. But anyway, so Peter says, nothing ever unclean has entered my mouth. But God says, what God has made clean, what I have made clean, you must not call profane. And then Peter says, the Spirit told me to go with them. Peter names it. He names it, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Not his own conviction, not his own opinion, okay, but the Holy Spirit. Here you have someone recognized as an authority in the community, okay, and you almost have to take his witness at his word. And he says it's the Spirit. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. No distinction. No distinction between them and us. Now, you read between the lines of this story, and the problem is all about distinctions, divisions between people. Okay? Read between the lines of the story. The story is all about the problem in the story is about the divisions and the distinctions between people. Okay? And by the way, the problem doesn't go away. Okay? It comes up again in Acts 15 with Paul, and you read Galatians. Okay, the entire book of Galatians is all about that. The Gospels, this whole problem between divisions and distinctions between people. And the other interesting thing about this story, Peter has witnesses with him. He doesn't do it alone. He doesn't act alone. Discerning the work of the Spirit does not take place in a vacuum by yourself privately. Okay, Peter brings brothers with him, six brothers. Six fellow followers. He's not acting alone. This is important because the action of the Spirit includes the community and works within the community. So, Cornelius, this Gentile Roman soldier, asked for Peter because an angel told Cornelius that Peter has a message by which you and your entire household will be saved. Peter has a message by which you and your household will be saved. The outsider is told by God that he will be included. And that Peter has a message, a word, a proclamation of the gospel. Outside news. Not private opinion, but a message. News, good news. And that this message will include Cornelius the Gentile. He is not excluded by the gospel. And then Peter says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning." Cornelius and his household experienced the same effects of the gospel that the disciples did when they too experienced the Holy Spirit. Cornelius and his household experienced the same effects of the gospel that the disciples did when they too felt the Spirit. This is how God works. Through the word, the message of Jesus Christ. The Spirit uses that word, that message of Jesus Christ. And that word affects people. It changes people. Right here in the heart. They're changed. They're no longer different. You feel something. Who knows what it's like? Who knows what it means? But you're different. You know, it's the classic hymn. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. What was that message that makes all the difference? That opens the eyes of the heart and the mind? Gives purpose and direction. What is that word? That's God's word changing us and the Holy Spirit working through it. And that is what happened to Cornelius and his household. The same thing happened to Cornelius that happens to all of us when we're moved by God's word. The Holy Spirit affected him in a similar, unmistakable way. And then Peter does something really interesting in retelling this story. In his retelling of this story, to people who don't want to believe that Gentiles are accepted, okay, Peter makes sense of the experience himself by recalling Scripture. Peter makes sense of what happened, okay? He has to try to understand it too. Peter tries to understand what happened, and he does it by recalling Scripture. He says, I remember what the Lord said. How John baptized with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He recalls something that Jesus says. He recalls Scripture. How do we discern what the Holy Spirit is doing? What is the criteria by which we judge that? Well, go back to the Bible. Go back to Jesus Christ. Interpret your experience, our experience, in light of all of God's Word. So Peter remembers Jesus' comment about baptism in the Holy Spirit. If God gave them the same gift that He gave us, the Holy Spirit, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? If God gave them the same gift that God gave us, that He gave us, those gifts of faith, the gift of peace, the gift of comfort, the gift of community, the gift of joy, the gift of clarity, purpose, you name it. Okay? All those gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. If God gave that, the gifts, to them that He gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? Now for the circumcised believers who don't want to believe Peter, not accepting Cornelius, the uncircumcised Gentile, is to get in the way of what God is doing. Not to accept whom God has accepted is to hinder what God is doing. That's where the story goes. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says in today's gospel. If Jesus loves us when we're unacceptable, or as Paul puts it, while we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. If Jesus loves us when we're unacceptable, then we're to love others when they're unacceptable. Love one another as I have loved you. This is the platinum rule, y'all. Not the golden rule. This is the platinum rule. Okay? Because notice how Jesus kicks it up a notch. All right? It's not love one another as you love yourself. No, love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you. Okay, the platinum rule. You know? Okay? And then notice what happens. And this is the really interesting thing in the text. Peter's talking to his opponents, people that disagree with him. They're fighting. Conflict. Church conflict. And they're silenced. By the effects of the Holy Spirit in people they didn't expect, they're silenced. By the effects of the Holy Spirit in people that they did not expect, they're silenced. Now think about the objections that the circumcised believers would have raised. Think about all those arguments that you have in your head, okay? They grumbled, they murmured. We know what that looks like. You start off with objections. You know, well, you know, you can't do that because of X, Y, and Z. And then you share the objections. And then people get talking on the phone and then in the parking lot or the hallways. You know, these people are Jews. Their Messiah has arrived and was crucified and raised and appeared to them. They've received the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is not a Christian idea. It's a Jewish idea. The prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2, Peter mentions this in Acts. You know, the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out upon all flesh. Okay? And now, a pillar of the church is associating with a non-Jew, a Roman soldier no less. The Romans have oppressed the Jews for decades. Okay? They killed Jesus. And this isn't that long after those events. 20, 30 years later, the Romans will completely wipe out Jerusalem and the nation. Okay? So, you've got Peter hanging out with a foreign oppressor. He goes to their house, eats with them, and then baptizes them. Making them equal to us. Where is that in the Old Testament? The biblical law has all kinds of commandments that maintain the separation between God's covenant people and everyone else. Okay? And that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as the objections would go. All of those arguments and a whole lot more would have been running around in their heads. Okay? And the Holy Spirit silences the objections. Put another way, this is how Paul puts it in Galatians. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the works of the law or by believing what you heard? In Galatians 3, Paul repeats it twice. He asks that question twice. Did you, Galatians, receive the Holy Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Well, Cornelius received the Holy Spirit by believing what he heard and not doing those moral works of the Torah, of the Old Testament. Now, of course, the text doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit silences them. But there's that pregnant little pause. There's that pregnant little pause between the silence and then the rejoicing. The Holy Spirit accepted the unacceptable when the Holy Spirit worked the same gifts, the same fruits, did the same thing through the same message and the same gospel. The Holy Spirit accepted Cornelius the outsider when it worked the same gifts, the same fruits, did the same thing through the same message, the same gospel. And then there's the rejoicing. The Spirit uses people like Peter and his companions, and it works through the word of God's promises. Those promises and the message of who God is through Jesus Christ. A God of love. Love one another as I have loved you. They will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for each other. Love one another as God has loved you. Jesus' love embraced Cornelius when Jewish legalism wouldn't. Jesus' love, embodied in the Holy Spirit, embraced Cornelius when Jewish legalism wouldn't. The beautiful thing about the story in Acts is that no matter where you find yourself in it, whether as Cornelius the outsider or Peter or even the circumcised believers, ultimately it doesn't end in silence, but it results in rejoicing. And they were silenced. And then they praised God. That rejoicing. They all rejoice. What God has done in our hearts and in other people, they rejoice at that. We all rejoice. Not that just God's church is enlarged, that the unaccepted are accepted, but that all of us are accepted. We too are accepted, are changed by the Holy Spirit. And that's a cause for rejoicing. Changed by the Holy Spirit through the news of God's grace, that the good news, that God loves us, God loves us all the way to the cross and empty tomb. And then the Holy Spirit through that message works its magic. And has been and always will be. Amen.